If you can turn your Bible to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Thank you, Sunday school teachers. Amen. Galatians chapter 5. And the title of my message this afternoon is, Who is Your Master? Who is your master? And I want us to understand that the preaching that I will be giving today is to help us understand this thing about appetite and giving in to appetite. You and I, even though we're saved, still live in this world that is full of sin, right? We understand that God, the Father, is the creator of the world. When he created the world, he created it good. He created it perfect. And everything in it was good. Then when man, Adam and Eve, disobeyed the word of God, the sin was not that they ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The sin was what? That they broke, disobeyed God's word, which is the law. We were supposed to live forever, forever, forever in paradise. When people were introduced to this perfect creation, that's when bad things happen, right? That's when sin came into the world. Adam and Eve disobeyed, wanted to do what their own thing. And it was a desire to, the Bible says, that fruit was a desire to make one wise. And so, I'm telling you this because sometimes we act out of desire, we react after what we want, and appetite. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes good things can turn bad. That's what happened in the fall of man. So there was creation, then the fall of man, and praise the Lord, there's a plan. God has a plan to redeem, purchase back the good. And he did that by sending his son. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not what? Perish, but have ever what? Lasting life. So we understand God has a plan to redeem us, right? And it was through his son. God's work, by the way. We can't earn salvation. God did the work. The reality of this situation is, though, even though we're saved on our way to heaven, we've accepted Jesus Christ, we live in a world where bad things happen. Fair to say? Sometimes life is not fair. Sometimes what you put into life, it seems like you're not getting back. And I'm going to tell you that you could still be the type of person that is Christ-like in your behavior. You could still be the type of believer that is righteous in their behavior, not because we're perfect, because now our identity is in who? Christ. Because we live in Christ, we're living in his teachings, right? And we have someone to help us, which is called the Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit of God. I have to tell you all this because I think sometimes we don't get it. How many of you have heard of the illustration about God being three in one, or I'm sorry, one in three? Whew. Amen. That made my tongue, amen, slapped the back of my brain, amen. All right, but here's the thing. Don't think about the imagery. So we're like, okay, the Bible says it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, right? But it's God in three persons, and we believe that. But I think sometimes we don't do a good enough job to explain it, right? And I was talking to the newcomers class, and I was trying to explain it the best way I could, the simple Ezekiel way, because I think sometimes I need extra help. The egg doesn't do it for me sometimes, you know? The three versions of water doesn't do it for me sometimes, amen? The gas, the water, the liquid, and the solid, right? So I'm like, So for those of us that are Ezekiels, amen, if you need help, hopefully I can do a good job here. We don't understand the nature of God because we're human. What's our nature? I just gave you the answer. Human nature. I'm a human. My best friend is a human. But you notice, we're two different what? Persons. My name is Ezekiel Rivera, starting a whole new era. My wife, Rebecca, the trifecta. No, I'm joking. But her name is Rebecca. I'm Ezekiel. We're still same nature, what? Human. But distinctly, we're two different what? Persons. It's important. persons. Can you help me out here? Amen. You need to be my amen section. Yes, sir. Yes, pastor. Amen. Thank you. And one nature, you keep confusing me, and then two persons, right? Okay. So then I'm a husband, she's a wife. And I understand people don't like it, you know, but in the family there are roles, right? And I'm not talking about the roles in the back of my head that looks like a hot dog bun. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about roles in the home. In other words, it's a part that we play in the family, right? Based off of the word of God, a father's role is to what? To lead the family, right? That's supposed to, yeah, provide, protect. He's supposed to lead, right? Now, ladies, can y'all protect yourselves? Yeah. So y'all. You guys are strapped. Amen. I know y'all can protect yourselves. But the way the roles are, it shouldn't have to come to that point if you have a man. Right? You shouldn't be protecting the man. Amen. It's just not the way it's supposed to work out. Amen. The man is supposed to be the leader of the home. He leads the home. He goes provide for the home. He protects the home. The role of the mother, no, we won't like it, but it is to help the man. In this sense, not that you're less than, but the Lord knows that we need help. It's that simple. You know, we're the head. You're the neck. Amen. That helps turn the head. Because we don't have that woman's intuition. You follow me? And so with that said, she also leads the home. What do you mean? The children. If you notice the influence in the home, when you have a godly mother, man, it just sets the mood and the spirit at peace. And it doesn't mean that they're less than anything. It's just different what? Roles. The children, they play a role in the family. What are they to do? Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is... I'm just giving Bible, okay? It's not about politics or what's popular or not or what's trending, okay? It's about just what the Bible says. The children's role is to obey the parents. Why? So they can learn how to live life. We're supposed to be their prime what? Example. How people live as a family. I grew up dysfunctional home, no father figure in my life. How was I going to learn from my family? I didn't have that. What I did have in Fifth Ward was violence, crime, prostitution, drugs, violence. And if you stop, you die. If you stop, you get hurt. If you stop, you end up in the hospital. So you go, 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 go. That's not a way to live. What I did have was hope, the Word of God. Teach something that's broken how to function right. And I'm trying to explain this to you because sometimes we don't use the Bible. When the Bible is talking about there's God the Father, God the Holy Ghost, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, it's saying this. Hey, it's a divine nature that you and I don't understand. It's God. But there are three persons in that Godhead. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. You say, well, pastor, the Bible says that Jesus said, not my will be done, but thine will be done. It said that Jesus would tell the Father, hey, he's greater than I. What does that mean? His role. Not his value. The same way that a wife's value is not in a man's. They're different roles. God the Father was the creator of the world that came up with this plan because a man made things bad. God the Son's role was to be that sacrificial what? Lamb. For what? That repayment to make things good. And what's the Holy Spirit's role? To comfort us. Because Jesus left. And that comforter is the one that we need. So I hope that helps in a sense. While we're living here, are you allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you? Or are you allowing something else, your appetite, to be your master? The title of my message is, Who's Your Master? Here's the first point I'd like to share with you. Galatians 5:16 says this. This I say, then walk in the what? Now, what spirit is it talking about? The Holy Spirit. In the nature, it's what? Two. God. You have the Spirit of God living in you? I don't know why we're defeated. Yeah, but you don't understand. My circumstances created me to be this byproduct. No. 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 You have my testimony. No. You choose. Do you want to follow your master? Or do you want to follow another master that's going to lead you to that same cycle that you can't break? My mama was a single mother working two full-time jobs, never at home, so I had no accountability. But I will tell you this, she's proud of the fact that I didn't marry somebody like her. And that's a godly woman, and I love her to death, and she's my hero. And in my list of appreciation, she's right here, and my dad, nowhere to be found. She's a big, big, big influence in my life. But I didn't want to end up in the same situation that I was raised in. That's fair to say, amen. You know why? That's why she worked those two full-time jobs, so I wouldn't end up in the same situation as she did. Many times we make a mistake and we say, man, I'm going to keep it real. I'm going to be loyal to the hood. Fifth Ward ain't do nothing for me, but taught me what dead body looks like at an age that I shouldn't have seen. Man, Fifth Ward didn't do nothing for me, but just see what it looks like when a crackhead has a heroin needle in their veins as I'm going to school. That didn't do anything for me. I'm going to be loyal to that? Huh? All they've done is created a messed up environment for me. I'm not going to do that. And God gave me a way out. I know I'm not perfect. I get that. And I still brought baggage with me because of the way my worldview was at that age. I get that. But you can't have an excuse. If I can't have an excuse, understand this. We have the Spirit of God living in us. He's there to guide us, not to make us feel guilty, to convict us. Hey, Zeke, this is wrong, bro. You shouldn't talk back to your mom. I know she's not there all the time, but guess what? You still need to obey. You're living under her roof. Amen. We don't have to like it, but it's the Word of God. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the what? You want the answer to your appetite, why you can't overcome that? Because you're not walking in the Spirit. You're walking in the what? Flesh. Our human nature is a sinful nature. Adam and Eve made things bad. It's plain and simple. God made everything good. You say, Pastor, but I love your good intentions. I love them. But I'd rather have that to be backed up by the Word of God, Bible principles. Follow me? What good is it you get married to your best friend, but I'm non-existent? The Bible tells me as a husband, I'm supposed to love my wife as that he what? As Christ loved the church that he gave himself. But what if I just come home every single time and say, woman, where's my plate? Where's my plate, girl? No, I'm kidding. I won't get one. I'm going to get one to the head. She's like, what? But what if I just treated her that way? Hey, see this little hair right here? I'm a man. I'm just showing my insecurity in one curl. I can't live that way. That's not what the Bible tells me. Oh, Pastor, you're a punk. Well, okay, it's fine. I'd just rather be obedient to the Word of God. I know what it looks like not to be a punk and then not being able to see the next day. I know what that looks like. I'm just in control. I just want God to be in control of my emotions. I don't want to react and respond the wrong way. It's not that I'm a punk. It just takes a lot more work what I'm trying to do. What I'm trying to accomplish here is have a marriage that's going to be successful, that I've never experienced, by the way. I never saw as an example in my family. You follow me? I wanted that growing up. I wanted to know how it felt to throw a ball with your dad. I wanted to know to hear, hey, Zeke, I'm proud of you. And that does something even now. You can see it moves me because those are those things that as a child, you have those inner hurts. And it's amazing how God uses the ministry to heal you, right? But I'm going to tell you, you yielding to your master. If I continue to speak to this woman like it's a day at Marriott, she's just a hotel hostess. Is my food ready? I'm just going to go to sleep and not talk and communicate to her how my day was, or not even allow her to speak to me how her day was. How long do you think this would be? Or how long do you think this would last? You say, that's your answer, amen, 30 minutes. It wouldn't last long. So I'm not trying to win an argument. Here's the thing, I'm trying to win the war. I'm trying to see something in my life to take place that I never was able to see in my own family's life. I'm trying to be that cycle breaker, that generational curse. I'm trying to break that. Well, I don't have to. You know why? All I have to do is follow my master, God, the Holy Spirit. He said, babe, pastor, is he like Casper the Friendly Ghost? Sometimes, no, you can't see him. But you know, he moves in us when we're saved. What do you mean? When the preacher's preaching the truth and it hurts, it's called conviction, it's not guilt. I'm not beating the pulpit and saying, right with God if you don't wear a bow today. What? You know, we come up with some crazy stuff, amen? Women, you're not right with God if you don't sit right next to your husband. Like, man, where's that in the Bible? Man, you're not right with God if you don't wear a tie. I'm not trying to control you. What I'm trying to do as a pastor is lead you to the Word of God and point you to Jesus and what he's done in my life and allowed me to experience. It's just a testimony that God has done. But here's the thing. Some of you know what I'm talking about because God's done the same in your life. But you know what we struggle with? We know the truth. We just don't apply the truth. Because our master is something else. It's the flesh. I'm going to do whatever I want to. Okay. I don't have to listen to you. You're right. I'm not telling you to listen to me. I'm just saying, can you please listen to God speak to you? Say, pastor, for what? Your marriage's sake? For what? Your children's sake? For what? Your finances? Some of you need help with that, right? God applies this wisdom and gives it to us. Next verse. For the flesh, what does it do? It wants, it lusts, it desires against the spirit, and the spirit against the what? They fight each other. And these are contrary the one to the, so that ye, this word here is a Texas vernacular, y'all. Okay, that's all it is, plural. You all. Back then they would say ye. All right. Y'all, everyone. I don't know what they would say there, ye. So that ye cannot do the things that ye would. If I need help and I have a struggle with addiction or an appetite, the Bible's telling me that I should follow the Spirit, but also help me understand that my flesh is not going to want to do what's right. My flesh is not going to want to obey the Spirit of God. Why? Because they war against each other. When it says lust, that's where wars begin. In James. Right? So we're trying to fight the other. And that's what happens with our flesh. Oh, I want to do this. Well, is that the right decision? Or should you just allow the Holy Spirit to show you from the Word of God, hey, as you're reading the Word of God, can you please bring in remembrance? How should I respond to this? Well, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Well, what's corrupt communication? Divorce, if you're a husband or wife. Children, saying, you don't know nothing. Parents, you do what I say because I'm in charge. That's corrupt communication. Let's just keep it simple. Keep it biblical. Right? We won't go wrong with that. I don't have to put my preference in the preaching. It's the Word of God that preaches. I just got to let the Word of God loose. Amen? And all we have to do is be ready for this because the spirit and the flesh are contrary one to another. Next verse, brother. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Next. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. What are they? Adultery. Can anybody tell me what adultery is? Keep in mind, I have a pure mind. Amen? So please keep it biblical. Anybody? Adultery, real quick. What's that? Yes. Okay. Acting like a married couple outside the marriage. Okay? All right. Thank you. In the borders of right, there are what do you call it? Privileges. Outside of that border of doing right, it's adultery, okay? But it is two adults. Amen. Fornication. So one is outside the marriage. The other one is what? Correct. Being rabbits. Amen. The next one. Amen. Uncleanness, right? Uncleanness. What is that? We understand dirty, but what's that? Somebody say something? Impure. Pervert. That's dirty. Dirty mind. men looking at other women, and it's almost like you have x-ray vision, like you're Superman or something. That's being a pervert. It's simple, uncleanliness, that's all it is. Why can't you look at a lady with respect? You say, Pastor, how? In her eyes. If nobody ever taught you, you look at someone in their eyes. That way you don't have to worry about, you know, the corners or the cracks or anything like that. Amen. You just, I'm sorry, I know this is being recorded. Amen. You don't have to worry about looking at anything else. You don't have to size it up. You just have to look at the person in the eyes. Amen. It's simple. Simple. Lasciviousness, idolatry. It's just making something, putting something before God. Lasciviousness is sexual type of thing as well, and the desires. Witchcraft, it's the occult, things that are hidden that you do. Hatred, we understand that. Variants, emulations, this is cuttings and things of that nature. Wrath, anger, strife, seditions, heresies. Heresies are just false doctrine. It's not God, but you try to portray it as it's the word of God. Continue. Envyings, praise the Lord. Murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such. What's the next word? Are there more than just that list? What is it telling you? Paul's not giving you a closed list. He's trying to show you what it looks like. Yeah? And such like. So are there more than that, what's answered in that list and given on that list? Yes. Of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in past time, that they which do so, do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Continue. This do though. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. The what? Fruit. Now I know, I had somebody tell me, well, this could mean, okay, I got you. Because I said, it's singular, it's not plural, but it could be used as a plural. So thank you for those of you that are English majors, amen? And making the pastor feel like this. No, I'm kidding. I need to be corrected, I need to be sharpened, okay? But I'm going to say it, the fruit of the Spirit, right? In other words, what it produces. Is that fair? If I want to know what the Holy Spirit is leading me to, then it should be what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. How do you know if it's you? Because when you want to hurt somebody that hurt your mom, is that the flesh or is that the Spirit? Well, the Spirit will tell you, love your enemy. And back in my days, your mama were fighting words. Amen? I'm just, your mama. What? It would be like your, boom. You know, it's just one of those. Didn't even finish it. But the Bible's not telling me that. The Bible's telling me, say your mama. Say, okay. You're all right. You didn't get a busted lip. That's love. It's not, oh, come over here. Let me hug you. That's foolish. That's not prudent. That's unwise. You say, Pastor, that's not unforgiving. Yeah, it's forgiving. I just haven't forgot you. Let me not catch you slipping, okay? I'll let this one slide. Oh, Bible says turn the cheek. Yeah, I only have two. Amen? God's still working at me, too. Joy. How can I have joy when I'm going through suffering, hurt, and pain? Someone that caused me hurt and pain. I'm supposed to have joy? Well, that's produced by the what? Spirit. I need to realize, man, God, I'm still breathing. I still have a fighting chance. I can still continue on. If I'm a father, I can still live for my children. If I'm a husband, I can still live for my wife. That brings me joy. But it's not that my wife brings me joy. Well, she does. But who's the source of my joy? The Spirit, God. Get it? So, we're reading these verses. Continue. 20. Meekness. And this is the word I really want us to focus on. Temperance. We're talking about who's your master. What are two words for temperance? Self. That's the word. Self-control. Against such, there is no law. So, who's going to produce self-control in you? You? Me? Oh, by nature, I'm sinful. By nature, I want to lose it. Lose control. By nature. That's what I saw growing up. You follow me? Like, I want to do that. But what holds me back or prevents me from doing that and act differently, like supernatural, because that's not normal. Oh, you're just being a hypocrite. No, I'm following the Spirit. Who's really the hypocrite here? That you come to church, show up, and say you're a Christian, and then go home, and you act like the world. So who is really the hypocrite? A person that lives under submission to the Word of God? No, he's just my master, folks. That's what people do that are fake. They confuse it. Get it? People that are real believers, they're going to allow the Word of God to be, I would say, to control, to create this principle in your life that you live by. But I had to submit to it. And they that are Christ have, and they that are Christ's, in other words, that, you know, they're Christians, they find their identity in Jesus, have crucified the what? They're bringing it under submission. With the affections and lust, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the what? Oh, man, I'm out of breath already. Amen. Pray for Pastor. Amen. I need to lose some weight. Amen. I'm going to tell you where I brought this. I'm taking this to. I know, and my wife has told me, because I have high blood pressure. Amen. And I need to do better. But I know that I need to stop. I can't even say that. I need to stop. I can't love it because I love it, but I need to stop eating too much tacos, okay? Too many tacos. And it might be funny to you, but for me, I'm in love, okay? I'm sorry, babe. But I know that the grease is not good for my arteries, right? I know the cholesterol, all of that stuff, and my blood is not where it needs to be. But I'm going to tell you why I did this study, because I need to be real about it and recognize that I have not brought my appetite of loving tacos under control. You say, Pastor, really? Other people struggle with other things, okay? It's not just about tacos, amen? But, so, you know, if you have, men, if you have a short temper, you know, you have an appetite of what? Getting mad, angry, right? Quick. Me, I have an appetite of eating tacos. So that's as far as you'll know about me, amen? My point that I'm trying to make, though, is this. Here's the first point. The flesh doesn't just give you the desire it wants. It gives you orders. It gives you orders. Move on, 1 Corinthians. We already read that. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Is he saying that my body gives me orders? Yes or no? Read it. Is that what it's saying? I let my body give me orders. Is that what it's saying? No? What is it saying? I keep my body what? Under control. I keep it under my body and bring it into what? Subjection. Paul here is describing the internal conflict. There is something inside of us that says, I want this and I'm going to do it. The flesh doesn't just stop there. The flesh says, hey, I want this. And I want it now. My friends, we can't live life like that. You say, Pastor, that's just tacos. But we can turn good stuff into bad. By the way, you know, pray for me, because I'm going to, you know, work on that. Amen. But what I notice about this passage is not just introducing desires, okay? The flesh actually wants to become your commander, your master. This is why temperance or self-control is necessary, because self-control will say, you know what? My desires for tacos is not going to dictate whether I eat a taco or not. Oh, okay, my action. It's not going to dictate my action. My desire and my love, it takes me to a beautiful place, amen? But I'm not going to give in to it because it's not what I need. If I want to live to see my family, if I want to live to see my grandchildren, if I want to live and have more years with my wife, guess what I need to do? Bring that appetite under control. Where did I say 1 Corinthians? Okay. So Paul here is just saying, you know what? My body's not telling me what to do. I bring it into subjection, right? And he's saying, my body's my servant. My body's not my master because I'm bringing it under control. In your body, do you have appetites? Yes or no? Yes, I already told you I have taco appetite, amen. But here's the thing. Your appetite should be your servant. Do y'all have emotions? Are there some of you that get triggered by a certain word or certain people? Okay, amen, praise, testifying, amen, praise the Lord. Your emotions don't have to be your master. They're your servant. Follow me? Brother, you have a business. Do you sometimes feel lazy? But if you're going to get paid and that business is going to be successful, what are you going to do? The opposite, right? You have to bring that laziness under control. We all have it. Comfortability, complacency, right? We all have it. But if you want to be successful, you know you're going to go in there and put the work. My point that I'm trying to make is this. When you're angry, you don't have to say everything you feel. When you're hungry, Pastor Rivera, you don't have to eat everything you want. Amen. Pray for me because I'm really now because I know we're going to go eat. When you're tempted, you don't have to retaliate, right? When you're attracted to something forbidden, you don't have to pursue after it. When you're tempted to spend money, I don't know who this applies to, you don't have to buy it. But it's a sale. I saved $1,000. It was a 50% sale. Amen. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to tell me? You can say no. You can say no. Proverbs 25:28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a what? City that is broken down and without walls. You know a city without walls has no what? Protection. That makes them what? Vulnerable. To what? Attacks. Anybody can go in there and attack them. Follow me? This is what's so spiritual and so amazing about the Word of God. The person who cannot say no to himself will eventually have trouble saying no to sin. You'll be vulnerable to it. You'll be vulnerable. Can you imagine a husband that comes home and is exhausted and his wife asks him, hey, I need you to help wash the dishes. You say, Pastor, that's effeminate. No, that's just a good husband that wants a happy marriage. Amen. Praise the Lord. Wants to help his wife. You know, when the Bible talks about that the wife help meet, it doesn't mean, husband, you cannot help your wife either. It does say preferring one another. Amen? No? No? Am I missing? Guys, I'm giving you an alley-oop, man. Like, this is where y'all want to get brownie points. Amen? I'm trying to help you. But here's the thing, right? Can you imagine the husband saying, hey, I'm just tired. Now, I are one. Amen? I'm a husband. Yes, we're tired. And we could be genuinely tired. But you know what tired doesn't give me permission to? Mistreat my wife. Think about what I'm saying. Now, again, I don't know anybody here. It's just, I'm explaining this. That it doesn't give me the reason or the permission to be unkind. You know what self-control tells me? I feel irritated right now because I have these manly, calloused hands full of calluses, amen, strong leather hands. And now she wants me to put Dawn soap on them and go wash those dishes. I could be irritated. But you know what? I have to let irritation rule me. What do you mean, Pastor? Likewise, ladies, you might be having a difficult day. Your husband says something that probably rubs you the wrong way. I never do that, so I don't know how that is. Amen? But the flesh says, you know what? Ladies, I'm going to let him know. I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. I don't think you ladies are going to do that. Amen? I'm just saying. Ladies, you know what self-control would tell you? You know what? I know my husband's an idiot, and I know how he made me feel right now, but here's the truth. Am I really going to allow that emotion to control me? He who hath no rule over his own spirit. It applies to both genders, right? It's like a city. You say, no, it says he. Okay, but you can put her there. Equal rights. Who has, you know, rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. I'm going to tell you here with, you know, putting all jokes aside, marriage is not going to work. It doesn't work when two people say, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. Marriage doesn't work when people say, I'm right, you're wrong. I want you to know that marriage works when two people learn to say this, I don't have to be controlled by what I feel. That's how marriage works. You say, Pastor, you're an expert? No, I'm not. But I just don't want our feelings to become our king. I don't want our emotions to become our master. I don't want our appetite to lead us. I don't want our anger to become the authority in our marriage. I don't want the flesh to tell us and give us the orders of our life, because it won't help. It won't. You say, Pastor, what can we do? Self-control. You know what has more power than your appetite this morning, sir, ma'am? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces self-control. We have three lives. I preached it over and over again here in our church. If you've come any amount of time, you know this. We have a public life, a private life, and a what? Secret life. That public life, you know, we know it. It's what everybody knows about us. It's our first foot, best impression. Everybody knows it. Our private life is more at home. It's the family or people that are close to us. Our secret life, that's just you and God. No one else knows that. We have all three. Can I tell you what's an amazing thing? When you allow the Holy Spirit to control all three. Guess what, Brother Tyler? Now you can live without having to look behind your back. Because you're free. You're free. You're not living a lie. Emotions don't have to control you. The appetite doesn't have to be your master, because you're allowing the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're a husband and a wife today, don't keep secrets between you. Sir, that's your best friend. She should know. Amen? Ma'am, he's your best friend. He should know. If you want a healthy marriage, do it that way. Don't wait 20, 30 years from now and it's going to destroy your marriage. The Holy Spirit helps you with that self-control. Second point, man, that's it. Man, I'm already over. All right, I'm just going to run this. The flesh can take something good and turn it into a god. Philippians 3:18, for many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping. He has a broken heart here. That they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. That's it? Yeah. Of the cross of Christ. Verse 19, he doesn't have it? 19? Okay. I want you to see that here. Go to Philippians real quick, please. Philippians chapter 3, verse 19. Philippians 3:19, if you're there, say amen. Verse 19 says, whose end is God is their what? There it goes. And whose glory is in their shame, who mine earthly what? Notice the words, whose God is their belly. Paul isn't saying food is evil, okay? Because again, like I'm saying, like I'm going to struggle with things, man, especially when it comes to food. It's not my fault that I don't like bland food. I like flavor, okay? And being a Hispanic, I know what good food is. I'm sorry, nobody ever made Monday meatloaf. It's Taco Tuesday, and that's the truth, amen. And I'm gonna preach the truth whether you like it or not, amen. Oatmeal, I don't know, no day for that, amen. But you follow me. I don't like bland food, but I also understand that the good food that tastes good, that's greasy, is not good for my health. I get that. But here the Bible is talking about whose God is their belly. What is he saying? Is that the food is wrong? Is that what he's saying? Is it saying that the evil has the intention to hurt you? No. It's saying that my appetite can become my master. It's saying, whose God is there? Come on now. Belly. What's the danger of the flesh? Can become my God. My flesh can take something that tastes so amazing. I'm going to have to get right with God, amen? But it just tastes so good. And I can make it into something that's wrong. we don't realize that sometimes. I think sometimes we're like, Pastor, are you serious? Yes, because what you're doing is putting your health. By the way, this body is the temple of who? It's been purchased with a what? Price. So guess what I need to take care of? Oh, man. Stink. Tacos are wicked and sinful? No. It's not the food, right? It's the fact that I'm making it my God. What do you mean? I'm putting it before what's right. Does that make sense? And by the way, I'm going to be a, what do you call it? An advocate for food, amen? Because I love it, amen? But we got to eat right, amen? We have to do what we need to do, amen? Exercise, you got to exercise. 3 taco baskets, you know, we got to do that, amen? Proverbs 23:20. Sorry, I'll stop. Go, continue. Proverbs 20. Be not among wine bibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton. Oh, there's it. Look. Is that sinful? Is that works of the flesh? And such like. Shall come to poverty and drowsiness, shall clothe a man's rags. Pause right here. What are the two sins that the Bible's comparing? A drunk is the same as a what? That's messed up. That's just messed up. I didn't come up with it. Remember I tell you I read the word of God and I don't like it sometimes? You're seeing it. Some of these things I look at and I'm like, God, really? Again, he's not condemning eating. The Bible is condemning the excess or the lack of restraint. He's saying it's the same. It's comparable to a drunk man. We look at, he likes his tacos and it's okay. But it's sinful if it controls me, if it's my master. Gluttony is not simple. It's not about, how many of you like Thanksgiving? And I'll bring this to a close. I promise you, this is it. You like Thanksgiving? I'm going to tell you why I love Thanksgiving. It is gratitude. Thank you, God, for everything I have. But I've noticed over the years, and I think it's my wife's fault because she cooks real delicious and good. Love her pies. I love her macaroni and cheese. Never tasted anything like that. Amen. You know, the turkey is amazing and juicy. I don't want to change what you're doing. Please continue doing that and much more. But this is not talking about eating a lot for Thanksgiving. That's not what this is talking about at all. It's talking about having no restraint in your daily life and allowing this to become your master to the point that, guess what? You get sick. That's what it's talking about. That's what it's talking about. And we need to understand that. Bow your head. Close your eyes. How much power does food have over me is the question I've been asking. I think it applies to this. Think about a Christian who loves God. And then God blesses them more than he loves. I mean, and a Christian who God loves and he blesses them. But sometimes, you know what we do, Christians? We love the blessing more than we love God. God gets you a car. You love the car more than you love God. God gives you a job. You love the job more than you love God. God gives you a family. You love the family more than you love God. In other words, they become your master. As the piano plays, I'm not against family. I'm not against you having cars, properties, even doing well.